Well, good morning to all of you, and Happy New Year. Man, it's good to be back. I don't know about you, like I enjoyed taking time off, but I missed being with my church family, worshiping with my church family. But here we are today. It's a new year. 2024 is done and over with. We could say goodbye to that, right? Over the break, as I looked, just toward 2025, I found myself reflecting on 2024, and just looking back, what changes did I make? Maybe what things did I fail to change? What habits did I form? What habits did I break? What things did I achieve? What did I fail to achieve? I began looking at all of these things, and really, looking back, going, how was all of that preparing me for what God has next? And so I'm sure you ask these questions. If not, maybe think about that. Think right now, what changes did you make last year? What habits did you form? What habits were you unable to stop? You set out to stop some habits, right? But, lo and behold, it gets halfway through the year, or you get to a holiday, and, all those resolutions go out the window, right? By the Christmas time, you're like, I'm going to eat whatever I want to eat, because a new year's coming, and I'll start over again. What habits maybe did you fall back into? These are just things we think about, and I think as we get into a new year, we look back to look forward, and we're going to kind of be jumping into that. It's one of the things I love about the holidays, specifically Christmas time, is just this time, and I talked about it at our Christmas Eve service, just to slow down, to stop, to rest, to relax, and you get time off from certain things that, become part of our everyday life that we would probably rather not do, like taking our kids to school and picking them up from school, right? It's just one of those things, like you have to do it. It's not fun, and you get to sit in line and all that stuff, and I'm glad I got time off from doing that. Getting time off from work to spend time with my family, thankful for that, and then getting to sleep in. That kind of is different for everybody, but I got to sleep, past seven, and that's awesome. You know what I'm saying? You're like, past seven, that's not, well, for me it is. And I think there's a part of it too during the break where we have teenagers and they like to stay up late. And so, because I don't have to get up as early, guess what I get to do? I get to stay up and, be done with them. And that's always fun. But here's one of the things, and maybe this is true for you, maybe not. While I enjoy the time off and kind of just relaxing and doing nothing, that lack of structure and schedule, it throws me off. Anyone else? I get into it and I'm just enjoying it, and then I start getting antsy and I find myself going in kind of all these different directions and all these things, and I'm like, I don't know what to do because I want to do things. I like doing things, right? I like finding things to do. I look for things to get done. And so I began to do that as the time, vacation went on. I found things around the house that I could get done that have needed my attention probably for the last 3 years, I'll be honestly. And I could walk into my backyard and probably name off like 8 projects that I need to get done. And so I started working on projects. Now here's where I get in trouble. Maybe this is me and only me, maybe not. I love starting new things. Like, I love starting a new project and doing new things. But as I start one thing, especially as my housework, guess what happens? I notice something else needs to be done. And so I drop what I'm doing over here, and I'm like, I'm going to go over here and do this. And then as I'm doing this, something else, I'm like, well, this also needs to be done. And then I just find myself, I went to the store and bought, things for every project that I saw needed to get done. And all those things are now just sitting in my shed because I didn't get to really do any of them. Anyway, that's my problem. Like, I'll start something, and I have five or six things that are started but not finished. And I've recognized this about myself. Like, I like to start new things. Sometimes it kind of throws me off. And so this happens in, with yard work. It might happen with hobbies, church work, etc. And here's what tends to take place. As I often start things, I often forget to take care and manage the other things that I started. And there's so many things that I've done. And they end up going unfinished, unattended to. And often when I get back to them, right, it's gone too long. It becomes more work than when I started to begin with. And it's this whole thing that I go through. Now, is it bad that I start new things? Not necessarily. But is it bad that I forget to check on them and go back to them? Yeah, it is. And I think in our lives, we have learned productive habits. These habits that have come to shape who we are, and maybe these are habits that we learned or formed at a young age, maybe as a teenager or a young adult, or maybe there are some learned habits as you have, you know, got married or had kids, and we pick these habits up, and they begin to be a part of our life, and they are productive, and I'll talk about this, but sometimes if we're not careful, they can also become destructive. And at the end of the, you know, at the end of the day, while we have learned productive habits, we also have learned destructive habits. And so we got to be mindful of all of this, because if we're not mindful, a productive habit can easily become a destructive one. Now, you could say, I have good work habits, but if we're not careful, good work habits can turn into being a workaholic, right? Or you could say, I have good boundaries, but in setting good boundaries for ourselves, we can easily become prideful or judgmental. Maybe you say, I have good intentions. Well, good intentions can turn into you overstepping your bounds or even turn into gossip. You say, I have good discipline. Good discipline can turn into legalism. I make good investments. Good investments can turn into greed. And you can say, I like having good fun. Good fun can turn into addiction. And you kind of see how this goes. If we're not careful, if we're not mindful, if we're not paying attention to these things, what once was good can become something bad. Last year, I was listening to a podcast that I really like, the Bible Project podcast. Many of you may have heard of the Bible Project. They put out these videos. Maybe you didn't know, but they have, just hours and hours of talking about the videos that they produce. And I listen to those all the time, and they're wonderful. And they were doing one on Genesis. Tim Mackey, who is like the creator and the voice of the Bible Project, he's always talking about Genesis 1. In Genesis 1, I was listening to this thing, and it was talking about, the creation of the world, and there was this theme of creation and decreation that took place. But in the beginning, and he just talks about, like, everything is continually trying to work its way back into chaos. In Genesis 1:1, Tim Mackey kind of describes the opening line that where it says formless and void. He calls that wild and waste. It's this Hebrew word. It's really fun. Tohu vavohu. Isn't that a fun word to say? There you go. You got that word today for you. You're like, what'd you learn this year? Man, tohu vavohu, okay? And what that means is formless and void. And here's what that is. It's describing the earth before creation as chaotic and unordered. And so God came in, and what does he do? He brings structure, and he brings form into chaos, and then he creates man to come alongside it and to cultivate it. And he brings woman alongside man so that he can stay on task to do what he was called to do. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Anybody? No? Okay. And so that's what God did. But in all of it, and you can read through the Bible and you can look back through your life, there is this innate desire for all of it to return back to chaos. I mean, just think about it in your life. Like, think about your yard. If you were to do nothing to your yard for the entirety of 2025, what would happen? Overgrown chaos. It would be a mess. It would look like my yard. Okay. And so, and think about your body. Same thing. I mean, we're called to take care of our body, and at the end of the day, our body. We look at the story of creation. We are from the dust, and guess what we do? We return back to the dust. From the moment you're born, you're dying. Isn't that a great way to start 2025? It's like we're moving towards death. But that's just the reality of things. Think about your sink at home and how it's constantly filling up with dirty dishes, right? Oh, constantly. My house, it's ridiculous. You could just imagine with 11 people and toddlers and teenagers, these two things, how the dishes that pile up and, it's crazy. And so there's always a sink full of dirty dishes. What about your clothes? I think they get probably dirty every day. Like, just imagine going the entirety of January not washing any of your clothes. And some of you wives are like, no, it smells horrible after a day. We ain't about that. And so it's going back. Your toddlers, if you have toddlers, they are vessels of chaos, right? Like, honestly, imagine leaving your toddler 3-, 4-, 5-year-old, I know this is crazy, I'm not saying do this, but leave them alone for like 15 minutes or an hour. What happens? They will destroy, right? And then they'll be happy, joy-go-lucky, and they'll move to the next thing, and they'll go destroy something else, and you know, it's constant chaos. And then there's your teens. And I'll just tell you, with the teens, it's constant body odor. You know, just they smell. Like, and there's no getting over it, among other things. I just wanted to talk about the body odor. But, I mean, you kind of see, like all of these things, like, we've got to continue to take care of it. And so, I say all that to say, like, it's so vital for us, like, that we remain productive, that we create and form, you know, productive habits. Because if we do nothing, all that we know, all that we have, all that we love will naturally work its way back into chaos, to tohu bavohu, to wild and waste. I don't want that in my life. I don't want that in my marriage. I don't want that for my kids. I don't want that for our church. I don't want that in my relationship with Jesus, because the same is true of our life in Jesus. If we start a relationship with Jesus but forget to cultivate it, we will quickly find ourselves back in a lifestyle of sin. Here's what sin does. Sin disintegrates progress. Sin seeks to disintegrate progress. It is a part of life on earth. Sin wants to bring our life back into chaos. Now, if you know the gospel, if you know about Jesus, what did he do? He came, he died on the cross, and he defeated sin. But it's up to us to recognize that and continue to combat the temptation that we find ourselves in our lives to fall back into sin. And in order to do that, what we get to do is we get to continually, daily cultivate a lifestyle of holiness. And so, as you think about your habits, for your productive habits, and maybe some of them, like, they've just become normal, monotonous routine. Maybe some of them feel, you know, unnecessary. Maybe some of them are potentially moving into destructive. I want to encourage you in those habits. Like, get to know what your habits are, why they were formed, embrace them, build upon them, learn how to make them work better for you, for those you love. You know, like I said, I'm good at starting new things. But I need to continually analyze the health of the things that I'm already doing or have been tasked with. Or, as I set out to start new things, I've got to get, and this is something I recognize, I got to get better at bringing someone alongside me to start with me so that they can then take it or I can delegate it to someone. And so that's something that I got to continually work with. The reality is, if I'm going to start something, there's probably a good chance that I also need to stop something. And guess what? I'm not really good at stopping. And so that's something I got to work on. Now, for any of our destructive habits in our lives, same thing. Like, you got to recognize them. You got to call them out. You got to own up to them, and then you got to remove them. And if you're not sure what your destructive habits are, if you're married, ask your spouse. They'll tell you. Just don't be honest, okay? And they'll let you know. Or find someone that you trust that will be honest with you. Not someone that will, you know, tell you what will tickle your ears, but will actually challenge you and hold you accountable and help you get rid of those things in your life. On the weekly, my wife encourages me. I say weekly, it's probably on the daily. She encouraged me and she says this to me: stay focused on what you need to do. Make sure you're staying focused. And she's recognized in my life, after living with me for 20 plus years now, 20? That's crazy. We're so old. Okay. She's recognized that I have this habit of getting many things done, but often at the expense of doing what I need to get done. And so she continually reminds me of that. And I thank her for that. Like, she'll just pop in and be like, hey, are you focusing on what you need to do today? I'm like, yes. And I stop whatever I was doing and go back to what I need to get doing. And so I'm thankful for that reminder and that encouragement, and we all need that in our lives. Of course, I don't have time to address all the habits, all the destructive ones. Here's what I will say, though. As you enter into this year, as you're scrolling on, you know, Facebook or whatever social media platform you use, as you're talking to other people, man, be very, very careful to not fall into the habit of comparison. I think it's so difficult in this day and age. Because we'll look at other people's lives and what they're saying and what they're doing, and we go, why can't I have that? why am I not able to do what they're doing? Why does that work for them and not me? And we go, if I could just act like, organize like, parent like, etc., everything would be better in my life. And I think it's great to be inspired by other people, but at the end of the day, you got to remember that you are not them and they are not you. You don't have what they have. You weren't raised the way that they were. You haven't lived the circumstances that they have lived. You may not possess the skill set or the characteristics that they possess. You're not them. You're you. And all of us operate differently. All of us live our lives differently. And so here's something. You don't have to live like your parents did. You don't have to live like your friends do. You don't have to live like the seemingly successful people do online. Because at the end of the day, what worked for them, it may not work for you. Try as you might, it may not work for you. Here's what you need to do. You need to continually learn how God wired and gifted you and continually to allow God to shape you into his likeness. Don't strive to be like others. That's not a route that you want to go down. Strive to be like Jesus. And when you focus on becoming like Jesus, guess what? You will become more uniquely you. And that's what Jesus wants. Because here's what happens when we focus on Jesus, because here's what Jesus did. Jesus restored us to the original plan that God had for us before sin. And so we focus on him. And remember this, that we're not made in the image of others. We're made in the image of God. And finding ourselves in him and our uniqueness in him is what we must strive for day after day after day. As I was going through this, I got to this part and I was like, man, that was like a little mini sermon. And so there's sermon number one of two today, okay? So you get that one. Today I want to kind of dive into, this year. And I find that it's a healthy practice as we begin a new year to focus on a word or a few words that you want to strive after this year. That'll be just a continual reminder in your day, in your week, in your month to go after. Some of you I've seen have already been doing this. This is something that we did last year, and it was so helpful for me. I focused on intention and inspection last year. And man, it was wonderful. It led to a lot of challenges and a lot of changes, but it was wonderful. And this year, what God led me to was gather and build. These are the two words. Now, as I thought about this, I feel like it more applied to Kairos Church as a whole. But then as I really, just drilled down into each of these words, I was like, man, this could be applied to my life as well. Gather and build. And so that's what Kairos' words would be this year, gather and build. And I'm going to also focus on those in my life. But I wonder, what would your words be? And begin thinking about that. Maybe God has already put a word on your heart or a direction or something that you want to do. Begin to pray about that and to have God reveal that to you if that's something that will help you. Maybe it's not words. Again, this is something that I'm doing, and maybe that's not how you operate. Maybe you need to set goals. Maybe you need to make a resolution. Whatever it is, find it and go after it. But as a church, I want to challenge us to focus on gather and build. But on the tail end of that, I also want to add this word, go. So it's going to be gather, build, and go. And we're going to kind of unpack go as we go throughout our series we just entered into to boldly go. But let me just kind of, because those are broad words and broad statements, and they were created that way so that they can kind of work themselves into various aspects of the church and of life. But as we look at it as a church, here's what we want to do. We want to focus on gathering together and building one another up and going forward. And that's going to be our focus this year. Over the last 5 months, me and the staff have really been praying and discussing and looking into what the future holds for Kairos, what it looks like to be in this space, what it would look like to move to another space, just looking at and examining our ministries and life and all these things. And we've been looking at all these things. And so that led me into launching this series to boldly go. Today's kind of a precursor to that. And I'll unpack all of that, because today what I want to do is I want to encourage you in your individual daily walk with God as you go into a new year. But on the tail end of it, I also want to encourage you to continue gathering together so that you can be built up, so that you can build each other's up as we prepare to step into what God has in store for us as a church family next. Here's what I fully believe. To boldly step into the future, we have to continually prepare ourselves in the present. So we're always, you know, I talked about at the beginning, like, you know, what was God doing last year to prepare me for what he has for me? And I think that's it. Like, we got to continually, if we want to step into where God is leading us, then that means we need to prepare ourselves, prepare our heart, prepare our mind for what he's leading us into. In 1 Corinthians 12, reveals that the strength of the church, reveals this, that the strength of the church is based on the strength of each individual Jesus follower. I want to read this to you. 1 Corinthians 12, 24 through 26. Here's what it says. God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. So if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. And this is, verse 27 says this, now you are the body of Christ, and individual members of it. And so this kind of gets into what I want to do. I want to talk about how you are an individual, but you're also part of the whole. And I want to tell you that the church thrives and grows together, and the church also suffers and struggles together. And so as a church, my desire is that we would focus on gathering together to build one another up. And as we do that, we're going to continue to build upon the foundations that we've already set on the ministries and on the different things that we do. We're going to continue to strengthen those things so that we can look to the future and prepare for what God is doing. Now, I think there's three main facets of gathering together and building up. The first one is right now, right here. It's our weekly services. It's so vital that we get together, that we worship together, that we learn together, that we pray together, that we just do this as a collective, as a body of believers. And so that's so important. I don't have this on the screen, but it came to mind. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, it says, just let us be concerned with one another, about one another, to promote, you know, love and good works. And let us not give up on meeting together. And so that's it. That's what this is about. Like, this is so vital. It's so important. And I think sometimes we lose sight of this and the importance of it, and we need it. And so that's number one. The other two that I would say are crews and classes, what we call crews and classes. It would be groups, and then the classes are, you know, kind of offered at different times. And so that's one way that we gather together and we build one another up. And then, of course, serving. So we have our services, we have crews and classes, and we have serving. And I want to just kind of quickly talk about each of those and how you can play a part in all of that. But before I do, last year we kind of launched into a desire to, we looked at this, we inspected this, we examined this and said we need to do better. And so we rolled out a new initiative called First Moments. It's this new discipleship path that we are creating, this new onboarding process that we are creating. And we're still kind of working our way through that, working out some kinks, and we're thankful that you guys have helped us with that. But we're going to continue to encourage you to step into that and grow in your walk, and also grow and come and gather together as a body of believers. So our first, next, and leader moments is this discipleship process that we have. And then we rolled out last year something we call the New Disciples class, and we had a handful of people go through that and finish it. It's a 5-week class. Man, if you're just new to the faith, or you have, you know, you've given your life to Jesus but never really got a foundation in your faith, this is the class for you. And we're going to be rolling another one of those out in February. So if you're interested in, you know, joining that, signing up for that New Disciples class, you can do that today. Sign up for it today. It'll be happening again in February. I would encourage you, if that's something that you're feeling called to do, man, write it down on a next step card. Don't wait to sign up. Sign up now. So that way we can hold you accountable to the decision that you made and get you there. So those are some things that we're going to continue to build upon in order to help us gather together to hold each other accountable. The other thing, crews. Last year, we made some significant changes to how these things operate, and we made just some overall changes. We called them groups, now we call them crews, and we're trying to be more flexible, and we're trying to have more options, and it's great, and we did all that, and we're going to continue to inspect how we do our crews system in order to best offer you the crews that would be most beneficial to you to help you build one another up. In order to do that, this is so vital. In order for us to offer a good amount of crews that would help meet the needs of people in the church, we need crew leaders. We need people that are willing to step up, to sacrifice a portion of their week, some time out of their week, to lead other people in their walk with Jesus. And I'll say lead. Really, we call them facilitators. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to have arrived in your life with Christ. Newsflash, no one has arrived in there. We're all still learning. And I think sometimes we push back against and say, oh, I just don't know enough. I'm not confident enough. You don't need to be. You'll find yourself in good company. And I find the best way to lead is from a place of humility, saying, hey, I don't have all the answers, but let's find them out together. And that's what crews are all about. And so we need some crew leaders. And if that's something that God maybe had placed on your heart last year, but you never really took that step, or maybe he's placing it on your heart now, man, I would encourage you today, on your next step card, or even on a prayer card, just write crew leader, and we'll reach out. And here's what I'll say before you do that. Becoming a crew leader, there are some, you know, prerequisites. Of course, you had to become to Kairos for, I think, at least 6 months. You have to have become a moment maker and gone through our first moments training and all that stuff. And then there's a group leader training as well. But we can get you through all that, but don't wait to start that process. Because at the end of the day, we need crew leaders right now. On top of that, it's great to have people who are willing to lead crews. Not so great when no one signs up. Right? You don't really have a crew when it's just you. I guess you can call yourself that. But at the end of the day, we need people who are willing to attend. And we know, like, we need more options. I just told you how to get more options is more leaders. And people will come up to me and suggest that we do something or have something at this day, at this time. And I'm just like, yeah, go for it. Like, that's something that God has put on your heart. Then God's probably calling you to do it. Don't tell me about it. I'm not going to do it. I've already got a whole bunch going on. But if God puts it on your heart, then maybe that's something that you need to step into. And I want to help you walk through that, and we can do that. But we need people to attend as well. And so I would encourage you. We have a few crews right now. We'll be kind of rolling out crews and announcing some new ones as we get into this new year. But when they come out, man, would you make a commitment to join a crew? To sign up for one? You know, one of the things we say, and I think people say all the time, well, I can't commit to every week, and I don't want to miss and miss out. Don't let that be an excuse. I tell people all the time, if you signed up for a six-week crew and you only showed up twice, that's enough. That's enough. And it's okay if you don't. We want you to get connected. We want you to grow. We want you to connect with other people, and our crews is the one way to do it. We know that there are deterrents to going to crews. There are some natural ones, childcare, timing, jobs, all that stuff. We get all that. I would say this to you. If you're like, I have looked or wanted to go to a crew, but I couldn't for X, Y, and Z. I'd love to hear. I think as a church, like we could better serve you if we know those things. And so oftentimes you may be like, I don't want to complain. I don't want to sound like I'm whining, you know, all that stuff. Like, we want to know what's keeping you from joining or attending a crew so that we can best serve you and help fill that need when it comes up. So if you have any of those, if you're like, hey, this is my issue, this is what I got going on, man, would you share those things either on a prayer card or on a next step card? Now, before I move on from crews, here's a quick side note. And at some point last year, God put it on my heart to maybe start doing something on Sunday nights. I don't really want to call it a service. It wouldn't be a service. But to do a class or a Bible study that is more discussion-focused than what we do on Sunday mornings, where we could come together and maybe we could, you know, talk about the sermon on Sunday. Maybe you have questions about it, and then we could just get together as a church body and just really enter into discussion. And God placed that on my heart, and I've been praying about it. And I do that because, I'll be honest, when God said do it on Sunday night, I'm like, I don't want to. Selfishly, I don't want to. It's been a long day. It's been a long morning. I've already done two services. I enjoy my Sunday nights. And so there was this natural pushback that I had. And then I go, I don't even think anybody else wants to show up. You're going to give me these excuses. Like, no one, listen, God, no one's going to want to do that. That sounds dumb. No, I wouldn't say that to God. But again, I go through these things. Like, would anyone want to come? I think a lot of times the deterrent to some of these things is kids, and I don't know that we would be able to offer kids. And again, these are issues that can easily be fixed and worked out, but they're just my excuses. Here, at the end of the day, here's what I'm saying. This is something that God's placed on my heart, and I've been wrestling with it and pushing back, and he still has it on my heart. And so if you would be interested in coming to a Sunday night, whatever, let's just call it a Bible study, and it's just kind of casual, it's discussion-based, there's no worship, it's just, we're going to be talking and chatting and discussing the things of the Bible. If that would be something that you'd be interested in doing, I need you to help me and just write that on a prayer card. Just write Sunday nights. On a prayer card, on a next step card, just so I can know, like, is this something that God is telling me, or I'm just pulling this out and no one really wants this? So I need help with that. Anyway, because as I think about gathering together, I think that's a huge part of it, being able to really get together and discuss the things of God. And so I want to be able to do that. Anyway, so let's move on from that. So we got cruise. The third way is moment makers. Let me see. I got a lot to go here, so I gotta wrap this up. Our moment makers are, I believe Adam was talking about it. They serve in so many varying capacities here in our church, and our church body it's vital that we have people that are serving and volunteering in so many different facets. And maybe you haven't stepped into that yet. I would encourage you to do so. Your first step, like Adam said, is our first moments class. It's a two-week class, starts next week. We're going to tell you a little bit about who we are as a church, and then we're going to get you plugged into serving in wherever God has called you to serve. If you're new to the church, have come one, two, three times, still wanting to know just a little bit more without committing to a two-week class, come to Welcome to Kairos today at 12:30. We'll share a little bit about who we are, and you'll have a chance to ask questions. But if you're looking to become a moment maker, I would say on that next step card, there's a Become a Moment Maker. Just check that off, and we'll get you plugged into the first moments class. I got to move through some of this other stuff quickly. I've been just talking and going away from my notes a little bit too much. One of the other cool things that I want to share with you, it's not really one of the three facets that I talked about as it pertains to the adults, but it is one that pertains to gathering and building up for the teens, and that is our youth ministry. And in the last year, our amazing youth moment makers who've been putting up with me and myself have really worked to make some big changes in order to help our teens really dive into God's word. And man, that prayer or that praise that was just shared, oh, man, that's the kind of stuff that I love hearing that. It's amazing. And we've done a great job really implementing this new format. But what our youth ministry needs is someone that is designated to lead it, not me. I love youth ministry, but the youth ministry needs more than me, for sure, and someone who's called to that. And we've been looking and praying about that for over a year, and just praying that God would send the right person to do that. And man, I am just ecstatic to say that we have found someone to step into that role. You can go ahead and put the picture up for me. So this is Paul and his family, Halima, Nevaeh, and Riley, and they've been coming to Kairos. I believe it was August, right, that you guys started coming? I remember talking to you at one of the baptisms. Paul's in the booth back there, and I'm chatting with him. You're like, who's he talking to, the wall? And we were chatting at one of the baptisms we did at Lake Eva. Now, I think that was my first really interaction with you, but it was back then, and they have quickly just gotten plugged in and man, have loved Kairos and become a part of Kairos. Paul has been in ministry for 15 years. He did youth ministry and young adult ministry for 8 years. And anyway, I'm excited to have Paul step into this role for the youth ministry and what it's going to mean for them. Anyway, so I'm celebrating that. Man, if you haven't met Paul, take some time to meet him and get to know him and his family. But thank you, Paul, for showing up and answering God's call. Okay. We got to move on. 10:02. Okay. I'm almost there, guys. Okay. A part of this series, the gathering part. Like we want to gather together, but there's another part of this. And so we're building up together as we look forward. And so that what that means is we're looking towards a new land and a new space. And we want to prepare now for that when it comes. And I'll tell you right out the gate, like we have prayerfully considered, prayerfully decided rather, to stay in this space, which is a lease space, for another 3 years. However, as we've gone through that and looked at that, like what we're realizing and feeling already is that the cost here continually increases. And the size of our congregation is also continually increasing. And we're feeling growing pains and all that stuff. And there is this desire for us to have our own space, right? Create our own space. We've made this work, but just imagine what we could do if we had a space that was ours from the get-go. And so we've decided to stay here. But at the same time, we've also been presented with a potential property that we could buy that we could potentially build on. And I'll share more on that in the coming weeks. But here's what I'll say to you. In order for us to go there, it's going to require us to gather funds to provide a way to build in the future. And gathering funds is twofold. First, it's continuing in or beginning the tithe, right? This is 10% of whatever God has given us, and we're giving that to the church. And then after that, it's a commitment, a bold commitment, to give above and beyond the tithe, which is an offering to go towards funding the future. Here's the truth. We can't stay here without our current funds, and we can't go into a new location without future or building and property funds. We need both. It can't be one or the other. You can't say, "Well, I'll just stop my tithe and start offering." Well, if everyone stopped their tithe and just gave to the offering, then we wouldn't be able to afford what we're doing now. And so we need the tithe and the offering. We'll talk a little bit more. I got to stop there and move on. But in order to go, we got to continually focus on preparing, gathering, and building right now. And what I'll say is this, that the weekly gathering of Jesus' followers is vital to the forward movement of the gospel. And I believe that with my whole heart. The more we gather, the more we can build up one another, and the more we can continue to live on mission that God calls us to as a church body. If you learned about Jesus' life, this is what he did. He came, he brought people together, and he called them to live on mission. One mission. Do you know what that mission is? It's him, right? To serve him, to show him, to love him, to live for him, and to help others do the same. And so in all of this, I've talked about our individual lives. I've talked about our collective lives. We're called to worship privately or personally, right? To worship and serve God. But we're also called to collectively worship and serve God. It's not and never has been one or the other. It's both. Jesus showed us this. Paul talks about this all the time. 1 Corinthians, I'm getting close. 1 Corinthians 14:26 says, whenever you come together, all things must be done for edification. I love that word. It's kind of a weird word. It's not a word we use all the time. Edification. Oike dome. It's building up, edification, strengthening. And I highlighted the last part, developing another person's life through acts and words of love and encouragement. For me, I look at that, and you know what I see? That's the definition of church. That's the definition of coming together on a Sunday morning, the definition of getting together in groups, the definition of serving one another. It's this edification. I think this is something that we got to continue to build up, to develop, to encourage one another as we move towards what God is calling us to. As I get ready to close out, I want you to stand and read with me from Ephesians 4. I'm going to read verses 11 through 13. It says this, and he personally gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the training of the saints and the work of ministry to do what? To build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of God's Son, growing into a mature man with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. And we see that there's this building up and there's this unity. But at the end, it tells us how maturity is measured. How is maturity measured? It's our Christ-likeness. And I think that happens on an individual basis. And as an individual begins to grow and become more like Christ as a part of the church, and we have more individuals in the church becoming more like Christ, guess what the church begins to look like? We begin to look like Christ. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to gather together to learn more about Jesus. We're going to build up accountability to help each other stay focused on Jesus. And then we're going to go. And this call to go is an individual call to go. And there's a collective call to go. And we're going to go and we're going to tell people about Jesus. And we're going to share Jesus in the hopes that people will come to know him. That's my prayer. That's my encouragement. That's my desire for us as a church, is that we would gather, build up, and go together. Would you join me in prayer? God, we thank you for all that you've done last year and every year leading up to this point. You knew it. You've orchestrated it. All we've gone through, all we've been through, all of it's a refining process to draw us closer to you and have us become more like you. God, I pray as a church, man, we could focus on building each other up. Really, really focus on gathering together and the importance of gathering together and whatever facet that may look like. God, I pray for the Holy Spirit's conviction today or challenge today, the word challenging today. If you're here today and you feel challenged, you feel led, or maybe even before today, you felt God calling you, and then today's just a confirmation. Man, step into it. Don't wait. Really step into what God is doing and watch what he does. God, I pray for our families today. I pray for men to lead their homes this year, to really dive into who you are, to become like you, to show Jesus to their wife, to their kids, to their coworkers. I pray for them to step up and lead and cultivate within the church. There are so many things that call for our attention. I pray as men that we would focus on the right things, not the good things, but the God things. I pray for our women today. I think in a world of social media, it's easy to get caught up in that comparison trap. God, I pray that you would remind them whose image they are made in, how they are uniquely and wonderfully made. You would continue to encourage them daily in all that they do, in their work, in their child raising, their spouse and being a wife, in their friendships. Would you draw them closer to you so they can continue to be like Christ to others around them? God, we thank you for all you've done, and we're excited for where you are leading us as a church. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.